evening. Good evening to you on Monday, February the 8th, 2021. And welcome to the Watkins Awards Show. This is T. Tate. We're finally, my co-host, finally back from a very, very busy week in Tampa, Florida at the 55th Super Bowl celebration featuring Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. We all know the outcome of that experience. I'm sure Mr. Pearsall is going to give us an update. But before we rush into that conclusion as to why Mr. Pearsall was in Tampa, other than having a good time, and I know he had a awesome time, there's plenty of work to do. And part of that mission that we, you know, always talk about with the Watkins Award is to help these young men to make that transition from high school to college and college to the professional world, whether that is the NFL or just the world working for corporate America. But certainly he was there doing a lot of work. I mean, it's no doubt there is just so much work that's done when we're down in different places like the Super Bowl and other big events, just trying to help these guys out. And you would think sometimes, hey, it's just a easy thing. But let me just start off, you know, again, the Watkins Award. Watkins Award is an award that is given by the National Alliance of African American Athletes. And it's always appropriate to acknowledge that today is another day in the month of February that is Black History Month. And the Franklin D. Watkins Award means Black History. But even before I start there, I just want to acknowledge the sponsors of this show, JMA Solutions. Miss Jan Adams certainly has been a wonderful sponsor of the Watkins Award. Every year she's participated. And then also, we have ExoticCarSharing.com. And Exotic Car Sharing, I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit more later on in the show, but they are a full-service sharing company where, you know, people like Mr. Pearsall, when he gets to Tampa, he can ride in a Porsche or Maserati or Bentley. Who knows? But we're going to talk to him about excursion that he had. But before I even start there as well, one of the most important things I got to do before we start off is a disclaimer. And the views and opinions from the Watkins Award host and our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of BBSRadio.com. In other words, do not hold BBS Radio responsible for what we say. Hold Everett and I and our guests accountable. We'll take the responsibility. But it being Black History Month, Mr. Pearsall, are you here with me?
I am here with you, T. Tate, and honored to be back and ready to go. It's been an exciting weekend, and you know, to be back on the show after missing last week, certainly I apologize for all those who look forward to this show on a weekly basis. But again, I am back, rejuvenated, and excited to be back on the show with you.
Well, we was worried about you. I mean, I told the listening audience that you was at the airport and you and I had spent many a days and many a nights at the airport. And we knew that it was snowing in Baltimore when you was trying to get down to Tampa. But as long as you made it safely down there, so tell us a little bit about your trip. I mean, what goes into getting down to the Super Bowl and the National Alliance of African American Athletes are being represented by the executive director, J. Everett Pearsall, and there's an honoree who actually played in the Super Bowl. I mean, we just want people to know that these are great guys. They're extremely talented, but, you know, we also like to talk a lot about their academic credentials. And Just tell us, you know, something about Devin when Devin went left high school and went down to LSU, and then what he did while he was there in Tampa Bay.
Great question, and thank you very much for asking that question. I'll first say that being a person who has traveled millions of miles, and I do not underestimate that when I say millions, I've actually sat and calculated it. I believe that every flight that lands safely is a good flight. And so although Monday being stuck in the airport, being under the guise of those things that come along with traveling during inclement weather, the de-icing process and the late flights and so forth, the fact that I was able to land in Tampa and unharmed, safe and sound, it was a great travel experience, although not ideal. But this is now my 21st year venturing down to the Super Bowl, and I go there for many reasons, but this certainly has a lot of excitement around it with regard to the end result of this weekend and yet another one of my Watkins alumni being donned as a Super Bowl champion. I believe that being the person that you just asked me about, and Devin White. Devin White is a very, very special person. You know, I had the opportunity to meet him when he came on board for the Watkins Award, and we indoctrinated him as part of the Watkins family and as a Watkins alumni. A scholar athlete from, you know, upper Louisiana, say about 3.5-4 hours from Louisiana, from New Orleans, rather. You know, I had an opportunity to go up and spend time with his dad and his mom and the rest of his family. And when I got a chance to meet them, I recognized how humble they were, but more importantly, how simple and dedicated to education and the essence of being good people, good human beings, good community servants. And so that was something that always resonated. An individual with an extraordinary personality and one that when he walks in the room, he lights up the room completely and consumes any energy that could be construed as negative and makes it a positive. My interaction with him leading up into the Super Bowl was also one that a second person, in his second year in the NFL, you know, having the opportunity to embark upon a journey that landed him, you know, at the Super Bowl was something that he should cherish, but more importantly, take full advantage of. And really, as he ended the season battling with the COVID-19 and then coming out of it and not skipping a beat, we've corresponded. I mean, he should have been a Pro Bowler this year. He had 130 tackles by week 14 of this NFL football season. That leads by far the two individuals that were actually donned as Pro Bowl recognized linebackers. But again, one of the things that you'll notice when we always talk about the individuals that we honor for the Watkins Award, this is a person that had a 3.8, 3.9 grade point average, went to LSU, did well. When I say well, I mean extremely well with a 3.7 grade point average and about to graduate as he came out as a junior, purpose to make sure that he will get that degree from LSU. And he will be a proud member of those 98% of the Watkins men who get their degrees, you know, year after year after year. You'll hear him. If you looked at the Super Bowl, you've seen him. When he steps on that field, he demands attention. I think he's one of the greatest linebackers that we've had through the Watkins Award. But when you see him out there playing, you see that he enjoys the game. He takes life as it comes to him. And you know that when you get a chance to meet him, he's going to make sure that when you leave his presence, that you're a better person for it. His mom, just the same. And as much as Kosha has instilled that in him and made sure that he had those values growing up, you know, as you say many times, T-Tate, the apple never falls far from the tree. And so this weekend, and as much as it was extremely different from any of the previous Super Bowls that I have attended, many of the things and many of the people that I typically come to the Super Bowl for were not in attendance. However, you know, when I look back on it, and I'll be flying home tomorrow, I'll say that, you know, it really gave me an extremely, extremely proud moment and sense of accomplishment to see yet another Watkins man become a Super Bowl champion when we know him as a scholar, a community servant, a man of character, and for everything that he represents off the field. So happy for him and his family.
Man, that was certainly a great description of Devin. I mean, certainly you and I have seen him a couple of times together, and I think the last time, as I recall, you and I were in Orlando when we saw him there. And he's just, as you mentioned, quite a quiet guy when he doesn't have his football uniform on. But he transforms into Superman or something when he gets out there on that football field. I think he led the SEC in tackles, just to give you an idea how talented he was his senior year. Nonetheless, you know, Mr. Franklin D. Watkins would be proud to know, and I'm trying to recollect as far as I can over the 30 years that I have been involved, there have been, what, two guys that played in the Super Bowl, and both of them have won Super Bowls?
So I will tell you that there have actually been three guys that played in the Super Bowl, Ted Ginn, Darnell Dinkins, and now Devin White. That's unfortunately, Ted wasn't able to walk away with the championship ring whilst with the San Francisco 49ers, but I'm sure we'll have many, many more to come. But yes, we've had three, two of them don now the Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to accompany you to the Super Bowl in Miami when Darnell Dinkins played there, but you braved the weather as far as Minnesota when the Super Bowl was up there, and it was a snowstorm in Minnesota. And now you go through a pandemic, and you're down in Tampa Bay, but you survived. You've survived some pretty chaotic situations, you know, as far as being a fan and certainly working when you're in those places. But let me ask you, why you were there in Tampa, did you have an opportunity to see any of the other Watkins Award members there and the honorees?
I'll tell you that there are some board members that were able to join me here, but the city was extremely scarce when it comes to some celebrities that typically would come, and rightfully so, as well as some NFL alumni. And so in reaching out to the guys who are alumni who may have come down here for various reasons, as well as current players, it was not something that was embraced from a standpoint of making sure that that they remained safe. And after actually making it through this real special season where the pandemic shut down many teams and there were many challenges to making sure that everyone stayed safe through the season, to really kind of take this week or two and sort of embrace the concept of being able to make it through the season and staying healthy, both themselves and their families. I'll say that I knew that none of the alumni would be here, but it was great to have the opportunity to talk to them about maybe reconvening and getting together next year when it's in Los Angeles.
So let's recap again. You know, 31 years, the Watkins Award has been the premier award for African-American males in high school, and it represents the highest in achievement in academics and athletics. It embodies not just a scholar athlete, but a person who has been recognized in his community as a person, as a leader, and a community advocate. I mean, certainly Devin is one of those guys. He's, you know, had that opportunity to play in the Super Bowl. And as I recollect again, Devin caught the last interception of the game yesterday.
He did ice the game with the interception, which was wonderful and magnificent.
Well, I would ask the audience, if you ever get a chance, go on Twitter and look up Devin White. There's been times where he'll be riding a horse. I mean, he's a true country boy. I mean, this guy loves riding horses, and he wears his cowboy boots and cowboy pants. I mean, he loves it. And certainly I want, you know, the audience to know that, you know, these are just normal young men who make the transition into men. And we have a guest today that will be coming on later today. And just as a little preview, it is Muhammad Massakoi. And he will be on. And, you know, just to see the transformation that these guys go through over the years. But clearly, we just want you to know that these are normal guys coming through high school. What makes them not normal is their sacrifice and their commitment to the sport that they play. And again, it's just a reminder that the Watkins Award, it reflects and certainly recognizes the top African-American scholar athlete in high school. It's a high school senior that he would have to be. And the three sports that it focuses on is basketball, football, and baseball. One of the things that we tell people is that if you're good in baseball, if you're good in football, and you're good in basketball, and it doesn't matter whether you play all three, which we've had several of our honorees to do, or you just play one, you just have to be able to pass the test. And the test is on the application, and you can get the application by going to the Watkins website or the Watkins Award website, the Alliance more so, and that's www.naaa.com. That's www.naaa.com. You can go by the website, and a lot of what Everett and I are talking about today, you can see it on the website. You know, again, Everett, what do you think? I mean, as time has gone past and you've been down there in Tampa, I mean, it's, 35, 40 degrees here. What in Atlanta? What's the weather like down there in Tampa?
The weather is, I believe, today was sunny and somewhere in the vicinity of 75. Throughout the course of the weekend, there was a constant threat of rain. But, you know, outside of the wee hours of I believe, Sunday morning, we didn't experience much rain at all. You know, it was a little cool when I first got here. However, nothing compared to the 20 some odd degrees that we had at home, the ice and the snow. So it was a wonderful environment. It is certainly one of my top three cities when coming to the Super Bowl to host the Super Bowl, for sure. And I'm looking forward to when it returns, and it's not a pandemic, because I think that the city does a wonderful job of representing for the Super Bowl. And again, this year had its challenges, and those things showed in terms of the number of people that were here and were able to partake of festivities throughout the course of this weekend.
Now, for 30 years, you would be coming back home and would be preparing for the Black Tie Affair, known as the Watkins Award. And so with the award being canceled this year because of COVID, I mean, what is your take on some of the things that you want to try to accomplish this year, being that the award has been canceled?
Well, you know, again, it's been strange, but the reality is I will always take the health and concerned about how everyone will be able to be affected by attending the Watkins Award as my number one priority. And as I've continued to consult with those who know the travel industry very, very well and the hospitality industry very, very well as those who are in tune with what is happening from a health perspective, you know, it just did not make sense to conduct the Watkins Award this year. Again, I'll say it's not canceled. I'll say it's postponed, just postponed until the following year. But we're looking forward to kind of waiting until the right time to bring some of our alumni back, as well as there are three individuals that were not able to have their hometown events last year because of the pandemic, and we'll celebrate those individuals hopefully in their hometown as well. It's also a time for us to continue to reflect back on what we have been able to accomplish over the last 30 years and take a look at some of the things that we've done well, but more importantly, making sure that we're well-prepared for the future, well-prepared for the success in our future, and more importantly, more prepared to try to help youth, engage youth, uplift youth, and empower the youth in our wonderful country.
Now, you know, because we got just a few minutes, at the Watkins Award last year, we had the class of 2020. You had some very outstanding young men in that class, and the winner, the person who was selected to be the standard bearer, as you and I talked about in the first show, Court Williams. Tell us a little bit about what you learned from Court Williams.
Well, Court and myself and his family, we really have continued to dialogue very closely. He, like many others, had decided to leave for Ohio State early, and so he essentially almost left right after I met him at the Under Armour game and went straight, or the Army game, should I say, and went straight to Ohio State to begin engaging within the curriculum there and to engage into the playbook and to prepare himself to perform at the next level. He had a great spring campaign, and really the coaching staff had looked forward to this individual whom we recognize as the leader of last year's class, if you will, as someone that was prepared to play as a freshman at the Ohio State University. And to say that someone at the linebacker position at the Ohio State University would actually contribute as a freshman, you know how difficult that is and how heralded that is and how seldom that actually happens. Unfortunately, he sustained a torn ACL, and his campaign as a freshman was actually, you know, sort of ceased. However, his spirits are high, and, you know, with medical technology today, he'll be back on the field next year ready to play. I'm telling you that the institution, the football program, and everyone around him have given positive feedback around what they thought about him, not only as a player, but a person who was maintaining a 3.8 grade point average, already academic, All-American, and recognized on the team from an honor roll perspective. And again, physically, knowing that he would go in and be able to perform almost immediately as a freshman, hitting on all cylinders. And so I see this as a very, very small stumbling block to what's going to be a very successful career for Court at the Ohio State University.
Now, we got somebody who was right down the road from me, Chris Thomas, or Thompson Jr., I'm sorry. And he was from Dallas, Texas. Court was from Harbor City, California. So I want to make sure everybody gets proper credit from where they're from. But Chris Thompson went down to Auburn. Anything on Chris?
Chris also was an individual who left early to attend college and kind of settled in really well. He really prepared every game to be able to go out there and have an opportunity to contribute. As I watched the season matriculate, I saw him get a little bit of time out there on some special teams, but he didn't crack the starting lineup as we had hoped. And obviously that's the hope for all the Watkins guys as contributors and as individuals who want to go and be the best that they possibly can. But again, he is maintaining a 3.7 grade point average, you know, after just one semester and now coming up on 1 year because he left early for Auburn. But again, you'll see him out there next year. And you'll see him out there as a starter. You'll see him out there as a major contributor at the safety position. Just because of how things happen in terms of being able to prepare, I think the COVID season, we'll call it, or the pandemic season, if you will, really had a negative effect on his ability to be able to get that out there and play. There was an upperclassman who did go out there and kind of sort of stand in the gap, but you'll see him as what will now be considered as a redshirt freshman with still 4 years to contribute, be a major part. Number five, Chris Thompson will do well at Auburn.
Well, you had another young man that I think it only happened twice where you had a brother to come through and then another brother to come through. And this particular brother went up to another one at Ohio State. What do you have to say about Cody?
Cody, and you're absolutely right. So very seldom does a family have an opportunity to have one individual recognized for the Watkins Award. Only Justin and Eric Reed from the Reed family out of Louisiana was the only one before this. And so now Shane Simon and Cody Simon coming from New Jersey, and very, very proud of them. His brother was one at Notre Dame, and now he at Ohio State really took them to a state championship as a football player, was well prepared academically at his private school, St. Peter's Prep. And, you know, he went on to Ohio State, not in an early semester, but kind of reported in June. During the pandemic, it was one of those things where the kids reported to school and then they went back home. They reported to school and then they went back home. So unlike Court, who actually went early and returned home in March, he didn't really have a lot of an opportunity to sort of learn the system, get up to speed, and do all the things that some of the upperclassmen had an opportunity to do. And so as he took that opportunity to redshirt, and he will be a contributor next year. It's fun to see him in Court on the defensive side of the ball with the Ohio State at the same time.
So we got a quick break coming in here, and certainly we're going to come back. We got a couple of other players, and then hopefully we'll have Muhammad Massakoi on the phone. So we'll talk with him in a few, or I should say, on Skype, so our people get a chance to see him as well. So let's take this quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Watkins Award on BBS Radio.
I know you could do it. All you gotta do is put your mind to it.
Boy, I thought we was getting ready to really get down with some of your kind of music, Mr. Pearsall.
I do love music, diverse in many ways, but yeah, absolutely. You play some of the things I like, it certainly touches my soul.
Now, that means when you were talking about Cody Simon, that also means that the high school up there, St. Peter's Prep, is putting out some top players because you're talking about 2 5-stars coming out of there.
Right, and you forget about Savon Huggins, who was also a 5-star. So there are 3 who are some of the top scholar athletes that we have recognized. And, yeah, they've done a wonderful job. And I'll tell you that Savon actually coached him while he was there and say that, you know, he almost single-handedly took him to their state championship. So real special. Keep your eye on him.
Oh, I certainly will now. Vernon Broughton, down there in Cypress Ridge High School. I've been checking in on him. He's from Houston, Texas, and Vernon went to the University of Texas. What's the update on him?
He's one of those guys that you can tell by meeting him and looking at his ability to perform on the field that he has it all. His personality is one that would let you know that he'll light up the room. But more importantly, scholastically, you know, the way that they graded him out in Texas, he's one of the guys that, you know, in years to come has competed with your boy Chris Burnett with almost a 5-point grade point average. Not quite, but almost. And you had Wayne Lyons on last week with a 4.9. Academically, there are not many that would compare to what he was able to accomplish in the classroom. But going to Texas, he really went there to play and really poised to contribute immediately. He did get some time on the field there at Texas in their campaign this year. And at the number 45 that you should be looking for, I can almost guarantee you that he'll step up and be a starter next year with, again, 4 years of eligibility walking into next year. You know, he had some issues around being exposed to COVID at certain points of the season, which there were some times that he actually was looked at as a potential starter. But again, he got a chance to put in some work on the field. And, you know, we'll see what the GPA is, which I'm sure is going to be quite impressive because I know that he left there early and in his first semester had a 4.0 coming out of his first semester at the University of Texas. And so he'll make Longhorns proud. He'll also make, you know, Justin Blaylock proud and Holston Hill proud and Rashawn Johnson proud, the guys that are out there holding down Texas proud.
Well, you know, here's another guy that certainly I'm glad I'm able to mention him again. I mentioned him last week, and every time I talk about the Watkins Award, one of the things I want to always make sure people know is that it's not just a football award. We just happen to be talking about players who are awesome athletes, and for whatever reason, they choose football. We'll get into that later on, but Terrell Tucker Hemingway out of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We're talking about a young man that was All-American in football, baseball, and basketball. Goes to the University of South Carolina. What's the update on him?
He did it all, as you just mentioned. At his high school, he was very well known for his ability to participate in all of those sports. But again, an individual with a 4.5 grade point average who off the field represented everything that the Watkins Award was all about. We're very excited to have him as part of the Watkins family. He did play an extraordinary amount down there. And I will tell you this, and let me correct you, as I've been corrected on many times. Although his hometown of Conway is very close to Myrtle Beach, he will not say that he's from Myrtle Beach. He will say that he's proudly from Conway, South Carolina. And that being with a brother and a family deeply rooted, as well as, you know, his granddad deeply rooted in that high school and that community, they're very proud of where they're from and what that community has produced. In fact, his brother was a receiver for Devin Gardner at Michigan, believe it or not. And so they, again, have very strong roots at Conway. He has a very bright future at the University of South Carolina, or the USC of the East. And, again, he got a good bit of playing time. I saw him out there kind of banging and getting an opportunity to mix it up. Next year is my anticipation that he'll take it one step further as he continues to be successful in the classroom. He'll probably seize that starting position at the University of South Carolina.
Well, let's give Conway High School, you know, some credit where credit is due, because, you know, he ended up in school there, and that's where he was All-American in three sports. Last but not least, Michael Reese, Payne Ridge High School in Nashville, Tennessee, another All-American, and he goes to Duke. What's the update on him?
Take a look at individuals like that, like many others. the main focus of those individuals is character, and to be challenged from an academic perspective and to go to a school that will challenge them academically. Coming from a dad who is a coach and a mom who is a coach as well, previous football and volleyball player, there was no choice that he would be focused not on sport, but what he would accomplish in the classroom. Again, he did go up to Duke early. However, like many of the other individuals or young men, in the March time frame, they found themselves back at home and doing online learning and not really returning to get the training and the tutelage that would put them in a position to contribute almost immediately as a freshman. I will tell you that in seeing him and having the opportunity to dialogue with some of the coaching staff, he is ready to get on the field most immediately leading into his next year's campaign, which will then be considered his freshman campaign there at Duke University. He is fitting very well at the linebacking core, outside linebacker, it looks like he's going to be. But again, he's one of those guys that would be considered a tweener, where he could balk up and play, you know, put his hand in the dirt, if you will, or he can move around at the linebacker position as well. Long, lean, very strong, but more important to us, as you would very know, very intelligent. And I think that he'll do the Duke family very proud, and he'll certainly have a very good career there once he gets a chance to continue his education there. More importantly than anything else, be able to represent his family and himself very well as he plays there.
Well, in your paragraph there, you mentioned, and I don't want to leave anyone out, in making sure that our listening audience has a understanding that these are true academic All-Americans that attend all the major Power Five schools. And you mentioned Devin Gardner. Give me a little update on Devin Gardner. I mean, when he came out of high school, he came from one of those schools up there in Detroit that everyone talks about outside of Detroit, because inside Detroit, you know how it is. Everybody feels that their school is better, but Mass Tech is where he comes from. But give me a little update on Devin Gardner.
Devin Gardner, as you very well know, had a very illustrious career while at the University of Michigan at the quarterback position. He had an opportunity to play in the NFL for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would say that in his second year while at Michigan, he actually had an opportunity to play some at the receiver position there before he took on the full-time starting position at the quarterback slot. So when he came into the NFL, they took a look at him to be the guy that could actually be that Taysom Hill type of Swiss Army knife. Whilst there with the Steelers, he sustained a knee injury, which kind of thwarted his career in the NFL. He has continued to do some wonderful things, both contributing back to the University of Michigan, but more importantly, what people don't know is that in the 5 years that he spent there at the University of Michigan, he was able to accomplish not just his bachelor's degree, but his master's degree as well. And so he traveled abroad and actually played football, was an ambassador for football over in China and some other places. He continues to do a magnificent amount of work as a business consultant, as well as a person who has been very well respected in the Detroit community as one that's given back to a lot of the kids that are disenfranchised and trying to uplift that community as much as possible and as frequently as possible. So I'm very proud of what Devin White has been able to accomplish. We don't skip a beat as Watkinsmen and Watkins family. We don't let football dictate who we are, where we are, and where we'll go. If an injury has an effect on what we're able to do on the football field, we very rapidly pivot and make sure that we achieve our biggest mission is, number one, is education, and then number two, being in a position to uplift others and give back.
Now, we just finished talking about these six young men who were part of the Watkins class of 2020. Cody Simon, Christopher Thompson, Court Williams, Vernon Broughton, Leo Hemingway, and Michael Reese. The keynote speaker, because of the edge of what was about to happen, we knew that that there was going to be a problem with getting a lot of people at the event. But to my surprise, we got a lot of people at the dinner. What was it, about 150, 200 people showed up?
I think we're probably closer to 170, which is incredible, where we had previously had 300 the year before. Yeah, absolutely, about 170 plus.
And the keynote speaker, who was originally supposed to have been there, but because of the pandemic, Gerald McCoy, clearly will, you know, we got a rain check, and I'm sure that Gerald will come and he'll do the duties of being the keynote speaker at another time. But when Gerald came out of high school, you know, certainly he was, man, another guy that deserves a story. I mean, he went to the University of Oklahoma. But what is Gerald's story, Everett?
Well, we'll certainly have Gerald on the show, so I don't know how much you want me to go into that today, because I think it may steal the opportunity to give his proper due when he actually speaks to us. However, you know, he's had a very illustrious college career at Oklahoma. He went fourth in the draft into the NFL to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Had a very good 9-year career with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where he was able to achieve the status of being a 5-year Pro Bowler. Certainly, you know, more than any other individual from that perspective, from a Watkins Award perspective, because we've had Lorenzo and a couple of other people, Mercedes Lewis, that have been Pro Bowlers. But a 5-year Pro Bowler as a Watkins Award man, who is known for education, who graduated from college, stayed there 4 years to make sure that he fulfilled the promise he made to his mother to graduate from college. And then now, due to an injury, was not able to participate in football this year, but expected to come back next year. So we'll see where the next chapter holds. But a family man, a God-fearing man, a great representative of the Watkins Award, and one who will be joining us at some point in the near future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, certainly I appreciate you reminding me that Gerald will be here, and I know that Gerald looks forward to something like that, because he is just quite a community guy. I mean, you see him doing the things that he does, and he's consistent with the things he is always involved in his community, whether it's where he plays football or going back home. He's a family man, no doubt, because I hear you all the time reiterating that Gerald is at home with the kids. Gerald is at home with the kids. I mean, he loves those kids. So it's no doubt that we have guys who are regular human beings that love their families. So Franklin, Mr. Franklin D. Watkins, I mean, he was a community man. He put this award together, or more so, he put the National Alliance of African American Athletes together in the award, embodies the reason why he put the organization together. I mean, Everett, what has been one of the highlights of your time being involved with the Alliance, and more so the Watkins Award itself? Is there a particular event that really sticks out in your mind?
It really is almost impossible to ask me to, you know, surmise it in, you know, one event or one individual or one point in time. I will tell you that overall, my joy when it comes to the Watkins Award is the ability to recognize individuals whom you over the years have seen as well at such a young age of 17 and 18. And then, you know, 5, 10, 20 years later, or even more, to see that these individuals have achieved so much. You know, what we've gone through as individuals who have played sport, both in high school, college, and beyond, for some, the challenges that are before us. But when you take a look at these individuals and see what they've been able to accomplish on the field, and then for those 17 to 18 year olds years after, to be such community servants and such great family men and great husbands and great ambassadors and, you know, and big, great representatives and leaders within their profession, both inside and outside of sports, because they're businessmen, they're attorneys. These guys are doing so many magnificent things all over the country that we continue to mentor them through and continue to put them in a position as best we can to utilize the network of being a part of Watkins to help them to be successful and get over the hump. And in other situations, continue to stimulate good, bright, and fresh ideas on how they continue to be, can be better and continue to be more effective, if you will. And so, although there's not one event, when I attend a wedding, I see how individuals that are Watkins men have gone on to take the next step and be dedicated as a family man. When I go to football camps and youth events, I see individuals who are Watkins men and see their dedication, you know, to the community. When I go to graduations, both the graduate degrees and undergrad degrees, I see those individuals who are graduating in 2.5, 3 years, 4 years even, and some of them, in the case of Devin Gardner, in 5 years with master's degrees, and taking advantage of the opportunity that a school may want them for sports, but they have an obligation to themselves as individuals and their families to take advantage of the education that's being offered and to get those degrees that will help them to stabilize themselves, their families, in our community.
Well, I want to say, you know, thank you for really a awesome answer, but I am going to tell you, I do have a memorable experience. Now, I'm going to tell you about that memorable experience, Everett. It was in Washington, D.C., during a snowstorm. And the individuals who helped us to put that event together still came out. I mean, we had try to hire drivers at $500 to $1,000 to go pick people up from different places in Washington, D.C. And people were so determined as a result of you to get out to that banquet and to be a part of it and to see one individual, man, I thought I saw tears in your eyes. I saw Miss Jan Adams get out of a car. You know, she caught an Uber. I don't know how she talked that Uber driver into bringing her out to that hotel that night. But she made it in there, and that shows the commitment that these people have for the Watkins Award Gala. And that snowstorm showed me just how determined they are to follow through with you. And, you know, since I'm here talking about Ms. Adams, I'm going to go back to JMA-solutions.com. You know, they, you know, are one of our sponsors, and certainly I am proud to say that Ms. Adams has always, always supported us in any kind of way. She believes in what the National Alliance of African American Athletes embodies, and that Watkins Award and that event. JMA Solutions is an award-winning government consulting firm with over 12 years of experience delivering outstanding customer support. She's a certified woman-owned small business, service-disabled, veteran-owned small business, small disadvantaged business, minority-owned business. I mean, she has a lot of different categories, but at the end of the day, Ms. Adams is committed to her business and making sure that her customers get the ultimate in customer support and services. Ms. Adams makes sure that the Alliance has everything that it needs to just do this Watkins Award Gala. And I'm thankful for Ms. Jan Adams. Is there something you want to say about Ms. Adams? Because you talked about her on our first edition of the Watkins Award. Is there something now you want to say about her?
You know, I don't do a lot of social media. I hate to admit that, but it is what it is. But I do have a few individuals that I do follow, and I try to keep track of what they're doing. And you know, I'll bring up, not just her support of what we're doing, but, she went down during the holidays and her family and the like, and they gave away $50 gift cards in her hometown of Youngstown. And there were cars lined up just for almost miles, where she was able to bless them with the ability to use that gift card to have a better holiday, whether it's for Christmas, whether it's for food or something of the like. This is just yet another example of who she is and what she represents, and just an unheralded passion for making sure that she just doesn't sit back on her own success, which, believe me, she is extremely successful. But she continues to strive to make the lives of others better. And, if you don't surround yourself with people, like Jan, where you'll see that from a professional perspective, no matter what you do, your ability to look in the mirror at yourself, your efforts and what you contribute to society is really a measurement of where you are successfully, not, certainly how much money you've made and so forth. She's extremely respected by me, by her peers as well. But again, when you take a look at that kind of an effort and many others, she is extremely well known within her circle. But outside of her circle, there are so many people who have been helped so many different ways, and I can't really give her enough proper recognition for that.
Well, I really appreciate you filling in the blanks and really showcasing the humble lady that Ms. Adams is. I mean, I'm surprised that you did not see her down there at the Super Bowl. She gets around. I mean, there's no doubt. I know that this is a different time, but had it been the right time, Ms. Adams would have certainly been there. Let me just say also that this show is also being sponsored by ExoticCarSharing.com. Exotic Car Sharing by Curvy Road is a full-service car sharing company that has been in business for over 21 years, based in Palatine, Illinois. The company's members have the ability to own fractional ownership of exotic cars at a fraction of the cost. You know about that, Everett. You have fractional ownership with some planes, don't you?
We're not going to call it ownership, but certainly an extreme amount of contribution to the wealth of individuals that participate in the transportation industry through air.
Oh, yeah.
How's that sound?
It sounds just right, just like a salesman. Their plan includes reservations for the weekend on weekly ride sharing, and their members can choose from a Bentley, a McLaurin 570S, or certainly, this new Corvette that I hear that has 8 speeds in it, 8 gears. I mean, that's phenomenal, but... Norm Washington is the owner of the operation in the Atlanta area, but he can make sure that you get your car down there in Tampa anytime you need it. And I know you still down there trying to figure out, can you stay one more day, but you got to get out of there and get back home. They have a fleet of cars, and they have superior customer service as well. You don't have to move. They'll make sure the car is there. And like you, Mr. Pearsall, how you be rushing to the airport, You can leave the car at the airport. Somebody will be there waiting on you. They'll be waiting on you when you get there. All you have to do is take your bags and everything out the car, and they'll just drive on off with the car. And, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, we got Jan Adams and JMA Solutions a part of this, and Exotic Car Sharing a part of this. And certainly, you know, it's wonderful to have such people and organizations who are very, very involved in what we do to make sure that this Watkins Award show is broadcast. And, you know, Everett, we don't have a lot of time, but just enough time to give me another perspective about the Alliance and what the Alliance is all about.
Again, and I appreciate you continuing to differentiate between our nonprofit, which is the National Alliance of African American Athletes, aka the Alliance. But essentially, the Watkins Award is just one thing that we do. It's very strong, very powerful, and very well known component of what we do. But we will continue to motivate through that and many other programs to help out the community and to uplift this country that we live in today and the youth that are within for our future.
Well, thank you so much. And I want to tell everyone, thank you for your time. I know that we didn't have Muhammad Massakoi here. He got stuck into another meeting, but don't worry. We're going to get him here because he's a UGA graduate and he's going to follow through for us. Thank you for listening. If you need any more information, go to www.naaa.com. Follow us on Twitter at the Watkins Award. You can go to you can go anywhere on the internet. Just drop us in there, and we certainly appreciate your time. I'm Tyrone Tate, better known as T. Tate, and I got Mr. Everett Pearsall with me down in Tampa, Florida, and certainly we appreciate your time. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to us on another edition of the Watkins Award. Have a beautiful and blessed day, and we look forward to seeing you and hearing from you next week. We'll be here every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks again. Have a beautiful and blessed day. All you gotta do is put your mind to it.